Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for Super Bowl action is Jay Cornegay, Executive Vice President of Race and Sportsbook Operations at the Westgate Superbook. You can follow him on Twitter at Jay Cornegay. Jay, great to have you back on the show.
Good to see you, Rob.
And I looked back and you and I spoke this exact same time last year heading into the Super Bowl, but I'm actually really excited for this game for a different reason than most. We made the entire NFL season with every single game played. And I'm curious to hear your perspective on it, because I know I talked to a lot of bookmakers during the pandemic and now here we are one full season. What was that experience like for you?
Well, heading into the season, Rob, I mean, we were not very optimistic that they were going to be able to complete it. If you remember back in August and some of the complications that even some of the other sports were having, and some of the precautions that they were taking, whether it was UFC or golf and some others, how in the world is football going to make it, as physical as it is and as many players and coaches and staff members that are involved, how could they possibly get through this? And so about 5 or 6 weeks into it, we had a couple of games early where they were like postponed and played on Mondays and Tuesdays. We were having double headers on Mondays and we're like, there's just no way this is going to happen. They're not going to be able to make it. But they did. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about that and how we got to tip the cap to the league and all the safety protocols and the players and the staff members, everybody involved, to get through the season, because we certainly did not think that was going to happen. And to get through a football season during a pandemic is very impressive. So with the sports books, carrying the flag for a lot of operators out here in Las Vegas, it was, it was vital. It was very important that, the sports world continued to go, and especially football, because if the sports world didn't continue, I'm pretty sure that a lot of properties would have closed down. It would have shut down the whole town. I mean, a lot of people think that we're shut down, but we're not. We're definitely slower than what we normally see. But because of the sports books and the sports world being able to work their way through and plow through this pandemic, the sports books were thriving and continue to do so today.
So what are the effects of the pandemic on this Super Bowl? What is different from a betting mindset or the way that you guys are booking things? Because this is a unique year where we saw, hey, what is the value of home field? And then we saw teams with players playing or not playing. So as we head towards this Super Bowl, what's different about this from a betting perspective?
Well, even making the numbers for the propositions, we had to take precautions, and instead of doing this at somebody's house, we had to do it in a big boardroom and spread out 30 feet from one another. So we started there. As far as booking the game itself, we really haven't had that many changes, except for we know that the numbers are going to be a little lighter than normal, because even though the Vegas books have set record numbers during this pandemic, going back to October, a lot of books are writing more than they ever have before, despite the tourist restrictions and the slowdown that we have seen in person. The main change that you're going to see going into this weekend are the venues itself. We look at normally we would look at parties of 2,000 people, 2,500 people. Now, because of the restrictions that limit these venues to 50 people, these ballrooms and pavilions basically are split up into groups of 50. And we're not going to be able to entertain as many people as we've done in the past, but we're going to have a lot of, you know, 8 or 9, 10 different venues that are limited to 50 people. And I think that's where you're going to see it. Now, how that translates to the sports book, it's just going to be lower volume. I mean, the numbers that we see, that we normally see during the Super Bowl weekend, I just don't think we're going to be able to approach with the restrictions that we have. And that's fine. The other venues, the sports book itself, is restricted to 25%. And so that is something that is certainly going to, you know, cut into the retail numbers. And, you know, I know that the mobile has taken off and some of that has migrated. A lot of it has migrated over to the mobile side, but the Super Bowl is really carried by the tourist dollar. And we usually have so many people in town, you know, we have a packed, you know, hotel. You're just not going to see that. So even though the mobile is carrying the day, the retail numbers are going to be, you know, affected quite a bit, that I don't see how we can approach, you know, record Super Bowl numbers.
All right. So let's get to the game itself. What number in total do you guys currently have this at?
We're at 3 and minus 20. Let me just double check here. I want to get you the latest. I wanted to make sure that we didn't go down to 15 because we were talking about that. 3 minus 20, total is 56 there, Rob. It's, you know, the action has been a little lighter than we normally see, but we're holding at 3 minus 20 and total 56.
When do you expect to see the majority of the bets in? We're recording this right now, Wednesday, 2 p.m. Eastern. When will you see the highest volume on the game?
Most likely that would come on obviously the weekend, where we think about probably this year, 70-75% of the action will come in during the weekend. But the peak will probably be Saturday night. And maybe late Sunday morning, we'll also see a spike there. That's what we normally see. But with this being such a different year, you know, it could be a little different, but I would expect it to be Saturday night.
Do you expect either of those numbers to change much between now and then?
Well, with what we saw early, we took in some larger Bucks money line wagers as soon as we posted it, maybe the first 2 or 3 days. Since that time, it's been accumulation of a lot of Chiefs tickets, and especially Chiefs and over. I would expect that to continue, even though I expect some of the bigger plays to come in on Tampa Bay. I think it's going to be a very balanced game, and that you know, the books are going to rely on the propositions to determine, you know, if it's going to be a winner or a losing day.
What impact does the Bucks playing at home have on the line, if anything?
You know, there's various opinions on this, and even in our house, we've had discussions about that, where it could
notice.
A couple of the guys actually think it has a zero impact, and some of us think it has, you know, maybe 1.5 point impact on the line. And I'm one of those pretty much in the middle, where it's a half or a point a difference. I think that if this game was being played in California, my personal reflection would be, it would be a solid 3.5, instead of the 3s that we're seeing right now.
What is your biggest liability going into this game?
We have some liability attached to the Bucks futures. There's no doubt about that. We have a sizable 6-figure loss on the Buccaneers future pool, and we took a little bit of a hit of them winning the NFC as well. But there's no doubt that that's our biggest liability going into the weekend.
Hold up.
Covers just launched their biggest forum contest yet. Join their Super Bowl contest for your chance to win some sweet prizes, including cash and a licensed NFL jersey. They'll also give you a bankroll to make Super Bowl picks from now until the big game, and the contestant with the highest profit wins. And the best part, it's 100% free to play. Visit their NFL betting forum to learn more. What is your best case and worst case scenario for the Super Bowl? Because we know once the Super Bowl ends, we're going to hear about the handle. We're going to hear about how the books do. So what's your best case and worst case scenario looking like?
Well, it's, you know, with a few days left here before this game kicks off, you know, that's going to be decided. As I mentioned before, I do believe this is going to be a very balanced game. And since we have liability attached to the Buccaneers' future and a majority of the tickets, a lot of accumulation of the Chiefs and over parlays, our best case scenario would be the Chiefs to win by 1 or 2 points. That's all I'm asking.
That's all we need. Is it really that much to ask for?
I think our worst case scenario right now would be the Buccaneers and over. But that could change. It could be the Chiefs and over. I think both of those scenarios, because I mentioned about the liability attached to the Buccaneers, it's not like we win a lot if the Chiefs win, you know, talking about our future Super Bowl pool, that the futures on the Chiefs, you know, are not going to produce a big winner for us. It's more or less a break even. But we do prevent losing those six figures on the Bucks. So, but with the accumulation of all the Chiefs and over parlays, that would be, I'd say, one of the worst scenarios, along with the Buccaneers winning and over in the game. That would also probably produce one of the worst scenarios that we have.
Do you guys artificially bake in a point or two into the total, knowing that everyone wants to root for the over? Like, no one's sitting there aside from the professionals who rolls into Super Bowl Sunday at a party and be like, guys, I am so excited to root for the under. Let's go no points. Like, you know, it's an inevitability.
Yeah. Well, when we first said it, we know it's going to be dominated by a sharp bets, right? So we don't adjust that right out of the gate, but I will say it does have an effect in booking it on Super Bowl weekend, where we might move it a little, quicker than we normally would, just knowing that we're going to just continue getting accumulation of over money. But right out of the gate, when we post the line, no, we don't. But it really affects how we book it during the last couple of days, where we might move it a little bit based off the liability that could be accumulating with the Bucks and over or the Chiefs and over, scenarios.
Where do you see the value in the Super Bowl? Because you've mentioned, hey, this seems like a pretty 50-50 type game. And you look at the line and it's Chiefs -3. And I'm not sitting there bathing in value by being on the Bucks. You're like, oh my God, this feels so fantastic right now. So if that's the case, where is the value as a bettor in betting the Super Bowl?
Well, I certainly don't think it's on the line itself. I mean, the lines in the NFL, you know, throughout the entire season are very solid, very tough to beat, as we all know. You know, you would have to probably look at, say, some of the propositions. I know that, late in the weekend, when talk about, you know, rooting for the over versus rooting the under, that's exactly what happens here in Las Vegas, and I expect it to happen in other jurisdictions as well. People will come to, you know, their favorite sports book and bet on things that happen. And so they, you know, the overs dominate the unders. I mean, people come here and want to see action. They want to see things happen. So they're betting the yeses more than the noes. They're betting on, some of these big prices that, you know, in some cases, you know, betting the safety to be the very first score of the game, you know, getting 40-1 is very attractive to a lot of people. And they put $5, they put $10 on it. And as many people as we normally see it during the Super Bowl weekend, you know, that adds up very quickly. And so I'd say some of the value would probably be on some of the unders that you would see for a certain player. Statistics as people are just betting on Mahomes to have a fantastic day. They're betting on Tom Brady to have a fantastic day. They love Hill. They love Kelsey, you know, and some of these numbers, not right now, but once we get closer to kickoff, you're going to see some very inflated numbers. So if there's any value out there, it's most likely on some of the unders for these individual players.
So with a game with two explosive offenses with the total this high, there is a scenario that plays out of this game where this could become a shootout. It doesn't mean that it will be, but that is a scenario that is out there where this isn't going to be the first Super Bowl that could have a lot of points. So from an exposure standpoint, how do you deal with knowing that everyone's on overs and you're dealing with a game where there could be a high volatility of, we watched Tyreek Hill put up a million yards against Tampa previously. We've seen the way that Tom Brady and Mike Evans and Scotty Miller and Chris Godwin can put up yards and points. So what are your thoughts about how you limit the exposure of if that scenario takes place?
Well, that's very difficult to do because during the 2-week period, while we have these numbers up, I mean, we know that there's some very educated players out there that they know if we actually, you know, adjust these numbers too aggressively, you know, they're getting some value on some of these unders. I think it just goes in hand in hand with the Super Bowl. We know it's there. If this game were to be 55-51, we're going to accept that we're going to have a very long day and it's going to be a losing day. You know, we can't adjust every single number thinking that, you know, we're trying to protect ourselves or go into the game and say, oh, we don't want to lose any money. We just book it accordingly as we've always done, and you know, let the chips fall where they may. If it's a very high scoring game and we have 8 different players scoring touchdowns, it's going to be a very long day for us. And we accept that, but we don't adjust and book it to like get in a defensive stance to try to prevent from losing money. We just accept it. And we know that we're going to win some of these and we're going to lose some.
So when it comes to the prop side of things, what is the squarest prop out there where it's like people just love it because we as the general public, we love to bet on everything, as you said, from the safety to the coin toss to the Gatorade. What is the squarest prop that there is?
Oh, Rob, there's so many.
Let's hear them because we're just start writing these things down because we're going to bet them.
Well, props revolving around Brady and you know, Mahomes and like we mentioned, you know, whether it's Hill or Kelsey or Fournette. I mean, everybody's betting these things, you know, and come Super Bowl weekend, they're probably betting into really bad numbers, numbers that are really juiced up. I mean, it should be 54.5 and they're betting over 59.5. Okay. I mean, that's some of the square action, but as far as the most popular public wager is, you know, the players score the first touchdown. You know, there's going to be a tremendous amount of action on the coin toss. And yes, we are going to need the tails like every year. And I mean, people come in here just to bet the heads. I remember years ago, a guy bet $30,000 on the coin toss just because he didn't want to watch the game. He was just wanted to sit there. He wanted to enjoy himself, and he won. And he enjoyed the rest of the day. So, you know, whether it's we get some of these propositions like over under 2.5 touchdowns by Mahomes. It just seems simple enough. People look at that and go, oh, he's going to at least throw 3. You know, I mean, and that type of proposition, you just get a tremendous amount of liability on Mahomes over 2.5. And there's probably dozens of those types of propositions where, it looks very simple to the common, you know, recreational bettor, but it's a strong number in most cases, unless they get inflated by the public action that we see on Super Bowl weekend.
What I found this year as I was playing props is I learned very quickly that touchdown props was not something that was profitable for me. Reception totals was usually not as well, but yards were. So why would that be? Because Scotty Miller can have one 30-yard catch and boom, just like that, he hits his over. or let's say that 54 yard over under for yards on a player. Well, they could easily get 80, but there's not like they're going to have seven touchdowns. So is there more value in betting yards props as there are touchdown as opposed to touchdown props? Because Travis Kelce could go 10 for 150 with no touchdowns.
Well, I think that yardage props are probably a more of a solid number, you know, over time. I think the consistency of that will play over time. Predicting who's going to score a touchdown is a little bit more difficult. And so therefore, you know, there's not a lot of bargain on anybody really of scoring a touchdown. I mean, for the most part, you know, and that's where the public bettor, you know, that it catches their eye when they get, you know, 4-1 or 6-1 on a player to score a touchdown. And believe me, this is, you know, almost every single of those of individual players, the books need these players not to score. I mean, we'd rather see one guy score 5 touchdowns than, you know, 5 different players to score. So I think that the yardage props are just more consistent than the TD props. And that's probably why you have more success there.
Is there a prop that you as the book have cleaned up on every year, or is there a prop where you guys get crushed? So I know one prop that for a good stretch was doing well was one team will score 3 consecutive times during the game. Is there anything out there that you're like, man, we always throw this, we do well here or we don't do well?
Yeah, there's a few of those out there, and you mentioned one of them. We used to call that the grandfather of all props. It was actually one of my friends that came up with that proposition, you know, 20 years ago, that said, hey, if you look at these games, you'd be surprised how many times teams score 3 consecutive times in a row without the other team scoring. And so we started looking at it, and we're like, wow, he's right. And with this, you know, this year's game, you know, we have, well, any team score 4 consecutive times. So those props that seem to be in I very attractive to the uneducated eye, you know, there's a few of those, you know, like over under the shortest TD of the game, over under 1.5 yards. And that's something that I think Ed came up with, because we were surprised at how many 1-yard touchdowns there are. Obviously PI in the end zone, you're at the 1-yard line. And so, you know, a lot of people bet over on that proposition, and we've done very well with those over the year, not only the 3 consecutive scores, but also the shortest touchdown of the game is one of the ones that we have benefited from, I think, consistently over the years.
One thing that I'm hearing is a lot of first half betting totals. And I looked on what you guys had in terms of your props and the totals by quarter. And correct me if I'm wrong here, but I added all of them up in terms of first quarter, second quarter, third and fourth. And it did not seem to add up to what the total currently was. So let's say the total is currently 56. And when I added all of them up, it did not equal to 56. Is that correct? And if so, why is that?
That's a good question there. And I've heard that before, and I've heard different explanations for that as you take individual games or individual quarters that might not add up to the overall total. And I'm not sure if there's a true explanation for that, except for, you know, we take it as an individual game and not as a number that needs to, you know, total what the actual game is. That is something that you'd probably have to ask someone smarter than me.
All right. So as we wrap this up, do you have any thoughts on a prop that you like or on who's going to win or the spread? What do you like going into this game?
I think that if this total gets up over 57.5, that would be attractive to me to bet the under. I think that in past Super Bowls, if they get off to that slow start, which, you know, takes a little time for, you know, to get your blood flowing a little bit, that I always kind of favor that side. You know, there's a number of propositions out there that you know, you take a look at, and as we mentioned before, if it gets to a number where, you know, you sometimes you can see some of these yardage props run, you know, and maybe be 6 or 7 yards above what they should be. And so there's those bargains or, you know, value that we've talked about before. And you take a look at those, because sometimes, you know, it should be 54 and it could be 64, you know, by the time we get to 2 hours before kickoff. So those are the ones that, you know, I would recommend watching and see if you can find any value there.
Is there more value to do that also on the live betting line? Like once that game starts, if all of a sudden the game starts slow, because we've seen historically Tom Brady's teams do not come out of the gate firing. So let's say everyone's a little tight in their first quarter and it's 3-0 after the first. So when we're looking at this total where people are shooting up on the over, well, who's to say that that number at 56 or 57 doesn't start dropping where, you know, the inevitability of a game that the teams are likely to get more comfortable as the game goes on. So maybe the second half total betting that over. So could that be the better opportunity for value?
Well, we know that the, you know, the analytics that surround in-game wagering are correct for the most part. So, I mean, they are what they are, and it's, you know, the numbers that are that they spit out on those type of in-game numbers are very accurate. It's just that, you know, for the common eye, even some of us say, well, that's very appealing that all of a sudden, you know, hey, you know, you all of a sudden they didn't score in the first quarter, or maybe the first 8 minutes of the game, you know, you have a 3-0 game. And then the next thing you know, the total's down to, you know, 52 or 53. And if you, it's one big play and, you know, the floodgates open, you know, all of a sudden it opens up, and it could easily happen with these two teams. And so certainly if, you know, you, I can't say there's value to it, because there's, it's just that it might be appealing to some people to do it that way rather than there's true value in it, because those numbers are very solid. But I understand, I hear it all the time. It's like, oh, I just waited until the, you know, the Buccaneers scored, and then the next thing I know, I got Chiefs that pick them, you know, 5 minutes into the game. And I hear that all the time, but that's a true accurate number. So I rather than value, it's very appealing for a lot of people to bet that way.
Well, I am that person, because for the last year I've been preaching live betting, because I have liked the opportunity, because we've already talked about how there's not a lot of value in the -3 one way or another. So for me, once again, I'm going to be living in the prop market, and I'm going to be living in the live betting market here. I'm not going to have a play. If anything, I'm going to probably be leaning on the Bucks money line, because last week or 2 weeks ago, I was on the Bills because I remember how difficult it is to go back to back. At the same time, I don't exactly feel all warm and fuzzy inside being like, you know what I recommend? Let's bet against the Chiefs, because that over time, even though the back half of this year, there was a winning proposition, I don't feel great about that.
I know that feeling because I've been getting this Buccaneers team, you know, from the second half of the season. I just thought they were, you know, Fournette has really helped their running game, and he looks really great, which is, if you were on the Chiefs side, that would be concerning to me, that if the Buccaneers all of a sudden have this balanced offense, because I thought they relied too much on Brady. And, you know, I think Jones or Fournette was really producing, but they have lately, and they look very determined running that ball. So I think that the Buccaneers are very balanced going into this game. And that's what I would worry about as far as the Chiefs. But I've been downplaying it because I thought they were one-dimensional for the second half of the season. And but I'm still probably going to go. If I were to look at this game, I'd probably go against the Bucs again. And if I were to happen to win, I'd probably be 1-8 betting against the Bucs.
Jay, love jamming with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
You can connect with me at Jay Kornegay. That's JayKornegay on Twitter. I try to get to a lot of my questions and inquiries as much as I can. And you can find us at Superbook Sports. You know, we're obviously out here in Nevada, but we have launched in Colorado. You can find us in Colorado and go to superbook.com, and you can see all the information about us and all our current lines.
And I want to hear from you. What prop betting action are you going to have? Do you have thoughts on the total or the side? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy. Make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And thank you to everyone who's been hitting us up on social media, giving us ratings and reviews on iTunes. Love having you part of our community. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The funkadelic devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.